This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Don't get ahead of me. We'll do Medal of Honor Monday here in a few. We're going to have, well, here in just a minute, we're going to have a long immigration talk. We have to put on our big boy and big girl pants for that one. Told you I had been concerned, and now I am officially concerned. All that emails, Pride Month garbage, so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But it's the start of the second hour on Monday. Therefore, it's Medal of Honor Monday time. We take a citation. Whenever you earn a Medal of Honor, you get a citation. And we just read it. And we honor the men. We honor their sacrifice. We hold these examples up in front of our children and ourselves to remind ourselves that there are great people out there. And do always remember that whenever I read these, don't think that, wow, we don't have those people anymore. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. These people weren't those people until the time came. This one is Lawrence Joel. Republic of Vietnam is where this took place, 1965. He was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, SP6C Joel demonstrated indomitable courage, determination, and professional skill when a numerically superior and well-concealed Viet Cong element launched a vicious attack which wounded or killed nearly every man in the lead squad of the company. After treating the men wounded by the initial burst of gunfire, he bravely moved forward to assist others who were wounded while proceeding to their objective. While moving from man to man, he was struck in the right leg by machine gun fire. Although painfully wounded, his desire to aid his fellow soldiers transcended all personal feelings. He bandaged his own wound and self-administered morphine to deaden the pain, enabling him to continue his dangerous undertaking. Through this period of time, he constantly shouted words of encouragement to all around him. Then, completely ignoring the warnings of others and his pain, he continued to search for wounded, exposing himself to hostile fire, and, as the bullets dug up the dirt around him, he held plasma bottles high while kneeling completely engrossed in his life-saving mission. Then, after being struck a second time with the bullet lodged in his thigh, he dragged himself over the battlefield and succeeded in treating 13 more men before his medical supplies ran out. Displaying resourcefulness, he saved the life of one man by placing a plastic bag over a severe chest wound to congeal the blood. As one of the platoons pursued the Viet Cong, an insurgent force in concealed positions opened fire on the platoon, wounded many more soldiers. With a new stock of medical supplies, SP6C Joel again shouted words of encouragement as he crawled through an intense hail of gunfire to the wounded men. After the 24-hour battle subsided and the Viet Cong dead numbered 410, snipers continued to harass the company. Throughout the long battle, SP6C Joel never lost sight of his mission as a medical aidman and continued to comfort and treat the wounded until his own evacuation was ordered. His meticulous attention to duty saved a large number of lives, and his unselfish, daring example under most adverse conditions was an inspiration to all. SP6C Joel's profound concern for his fellow soldiers at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty are in the highest traditions of the U.S. Army and reflect great credit upon himself and the armed forces of this country. Do try to keep in mind what it would be like to be in a far-off land and all of a sudden you are wounded and wounded severely. Gunfire, noise. How quickly do you decide, I'm about to die here in this godforsaken land? I'm about to die here. And remember, gunfire going on all around you. You're just waiting to get hit again. And then out of nowhere comes somebody who tells you everything's going to be okay, and he patches you up and saves your life. What is that like? What is that like? Some of these guys, these medics, these corpsmen in Vietnam, World War II, two other conflicts, man, the stuff they did was absolutely awesome. And if I may, I want to suggest a movie to you, Heartbreak Ridge. It's a story about Desmond Doss. He's a World War II guy. It's World War II story in the Pacific. And there's a lot to his story, which I'll let you go watch the movie. He didn't want to carry a weapon. He didn't believe in hurting people. But what he did was bordering on superhuman that day, saving everybody. Talk about just giving your life up for other people. It was awesome. All right. We shall move on. Remember, by the way, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I'm going to read a couple of these emails because there's been something that's been nagging at me. Two things that have been nagging at me, and I'm going to explain that nagging here in a moment, but here's a couple emails from you. This guy calls me Gastrodamus. That's not nice. Before Trump was elected, I remember you saying that when deportation started, there would be a massive propaganda campaign and that some of us would begin to have doubts. It seems to me we are in the midst of that, as well as a mass Yuri Bezmenov-style demoralization campaign. Given your penchant for self-glorification and love of saying I told you so, I'm confused to have why you haven't hearkened back to this prognostication. What say you? Says his name is Steve. All right. To combine that one with this one. Jesse, I keep up with politics daily, compulsively. It's while you're my favorite. I listen to many people, so on and so forth. As much as I listen to, I cannot understand why the deportation numbers have not changed in the past 4 or 5 months. We were told in January Trump deported 3 million people. Since January, I have heard different but similar numbers. If ICE is still working and gaining agents, how is this number not changed? Says his name is Kevin. All right. I told you I have two concerns, and I most definitely have two concerns. Before we get to the specific concerns, I want to rewind. Because there's so much news, there's a new controversy every single day. We can move past one, even one that was really big, and just kind of forget that it happened. Or it's just so distant in the past, we don't think about it. Minnesota. You understand that Minnesota is a completely communist-controlled state. Top to bottom, the communists run everything in the state of Minnesota. You can thank immigration for that, but that's another story. Top to bottom, Minnesota is a communist-controlled state. Trump, the Trump administration, they said, right when he got elected, they said, we are going to go into these, quote, sanctuary areas, these blue areas. Why? It wasn't necessarily a middle finger to the left. That's where so many of the worst illegals went because that's where they could be protected. It makes sense, right? If you're a violent scumbag from Venezuela, you want to be in a place like Minnesota because you have the most layers of government protection available to you. There's the highest number of benefits that they'll give you. So the blue areas are where the most are. Not that these people aren't everywhere, but they're mainly in the blue areas. Trump administration immediately starts going to Los Angeles. Remember they went to Los Angeles? They went to Los Angeles. There was a big old stink. It was so bad they had to call in the Marines to secure the federal buildings. Remember this? goes into LA, then goes into Minnesota, the Minneapolis area, but it wasn't just specifically Minneapolis. It was Minneapolis, the surrounding areas. So now we went from kind of communist controlled to completely communist controlled. And they're not just snatching up this bad guy or that bad guy, just this rapist and this murderer, a very, very slow targeted thing. They are going out there where large groups of these illegals are, and they are rounding them up, as they should do, and as you want them to do. They are rounding them up, throwing them in the paddy wagon, and they are taking them out. The communists, who understand that the mass importation of foreigners is everything to them, we're not getting into that again right now, they freaked out and realized we better mobilize for this. We will finish this little tale, and I'll tell you my two concerns in a moment. Before I get to that, I'm concerned that you're living with pain and you don't have to. I am concerned that you think that your elbow is always going to hurt, that your back, that's just the way it is, part of getting old, that your knee, that your shoulder. I'm concerned that you have accepted pain when you don't have to. Try Relief Factor. It is the permanent solution to get rid of your pain, because it doesn't just treat it as a symptom, mask it for a couple hours. It goes to the root of the problem, and it's 100% drug-free. And the longer you take it, the better it works. You think you feel better after 2 weeks? Congratulations. What are you going to feel like after 2 months? What are you going to feel like after a year? We're talking about the elimination of your pain. Gone. 3 weeks if it's 1995. I don't need you to take my word for it. Call me a liar. Try it. 3 weeks of it. Tell me how you feel. 1-800, the number 4, Relief, or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So, Trump administration goes into Minnesota some time ago, starts rounding people up, deporting them. The communists, they did what they do. They funded and organized an op, an operation. That's what it was. It wasn't natural. It wasn't organic. This is what communists do. That's what they've always done, how they've always operated. Cause a big stink, cause a ruckus, and hope that the other side will get tired, will back off, and you will get some kind of a win for your cause. They sent the shock troops into Minnesota. And you remember what those videos were like. Screaming at ICE agents, blocking cars. You remember, oh, by the way, again, this was all professional. It was all professional communist agitators, paid for, organized. They went in trying to get the deportations to stop. Surprise, surprise, couple commies end up getting killed. Communists can never control their demonic urges, as we've discussed many times before. They always push things too far. They tried to kill two federal agents, and now two of them are dead. All right. Now, in the wake of that, remember, they were even breaking into federal police vehicles there and stealing things out of the vehicles. That's how bad the activism was there. We have to remember that. In the wake of that, Donald Trump met with Tim Walz. After that meeting with Tim Walz, there was a, quote, shakeup with the deportation group. What kind of shakeup? Kristi Noem was sent out of town. Okay. Border Patrol agent Greg Bovino sent out of town. He has since retired. Now, of course, they always sold it as he's getting relocated, but no, there was a shakeup. We removed people. Tom Holman, great man, comes in, says, I'm going to run things now. Tom Holman, after he comes in, everything quiets down. Okay. Why? Why did things quiet down after Tom Holman came in? Why did the communists back off? Why did they stop rabble-rousing? Why would they stop?
Okay.
Tom Homan got up at a press conference, and Tom Homan said at a press conference, in fact, I believe he said this multiple times, Tom Homan said, you know how they weren't working with us? The jails would just be turning these illegals free. Now, these local officials, they're working with us. Now, the local communist officials are working with Tom Homan.
Okay.
Why? You know what communists are. You know who they are. You know what they want. Why in the world would Tim Walz or any official in Minneapolis, why would they ever come to an agreement with big, evil Donald Trump and start working with Tom Homan? What did they get out of it? It's been bothering me since he gave the press conference. It's been bothering me, if I'm being honest, since the communist protests stopped. Do you remember how loudly I yelled that we should have put in the Insurrection Act and sent in the Marines because you cannot be seen to back off from the communists? Otherwise, that's just like blood in the water for sharks. If they see you backing off, if you teach them their street rabble tactics work, it will encourage them to do it again. But instead, we went a different direction. We basically fired two people, brought in new management, and everything calmed down. So something else happened around this time. The White House, not Donald Trump specifically, but it came, obviously it was approved by him, otherwise it would have never came from the White House. The White House got together with the House GOP, Republicans in the House of Representatives. You can go look all this up. It's why they reported. And they said, hey, stop using that term mass deportation. Hey, stop using that term. Why would they say that? Well, the White House believes that mass deportation is politically unpopular. The White House, that's what they believe. Now, I'm not saying every part of the White House believes that. I'm not saying that at all. But they believe it enough that they went down and told the House GOP, hey, in the interest of keeping your seats, we don't want to lose too many seats in the House. Stop talking about mass deportation. That did happen. We know that happened. Clearly, there are elements inside of the White House who don't want quite as many deportations. Clearly, there are elements that don't want quite as many. Now, that brings me back to the two concerns I have, and more specifically, we'll address this one first. In fact, I'll give you a second to think about it. Why would the communists go to the protest machine in Minnesota and turn it off? Why would they do that? We'll talk about that next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, if you want to email the show, you can. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So I asked before we went into the break, why did things quiet down in Minnesota after Kristi Noem was removed and Greg Bovino was removed and Tom Homan came in? Tom Homan stood up and said, they're now working with us. They're giving us their most dangerous criminals. Why would soulless demonic communists do that? Why would they turn off the protest machine? It's been nagging at me. It's been bothering me ever since. If the communists aren't freaking out, why? Headline. ICE detained fewer non-criminals since Minnesota crackdown, driving a decline in the detention population, the data shows. The number of people in Immigration and Customs Enforcement custody declined by 12%, a record high in January to the end of March. Data released by the agency on Thursday says driven largely by a decline in detentions of those without a criminal record. From January to March, the average number of detainees without criminal records dropped by 21%. Over the same time frame, the number of detainees with pending charges and convictions declined by 5 and 4%. In February, Mr. Trump told NBC News the administration could, quote, use a little bit of a softer touch. Goes on to talk about Bovino being removed, Kristi Noem being removed. Administration officials previously told CBS that some of the aggressive tactics used by ICE and Border Patrol agents had become politically problematic. Mr. Trump tapped White House Border Czar Tom Homan instead of Noem with winding down Operation Metro Surge. Officials told CBS News that under his direction, the administration had moved away from broad immigration sweeps in major cities and renewed focus on arresting immigrants with criminal records. As soon as the communists started, quote, working with us, as soon as the communists turned off the protest machine, I began to get a little bit suspicious. That combined, Greg Bovino retired, just combined with the White House statement, hey, stop talking about mass deportation. I started getting suspicious. I started getting suspicious that they were turning down the deportations in the interests of political popularity. The numbers don't lie. They are, as of right now. We'll see what the numbers look like after the next quarter, but for the first quarter of 2026, they slowed down at a time when they should be ramping up. Because again, we're building the deportation machine. It's not ramping up. Now, I said I had two concerns. My first one is exactly what I just said, that they're slowing down deportations. My second one is so much worse than that. You ready? Last week, it made big news that Republicans and Democrats in the House, 20 each, co-sponsored the Dignidad Act. Remember, we crucified loser Republicans like Maria Salazar and Mike Lawler and these types for that treasonous betrayal of the amnesty bill. Remember also, I warned you that a member of Congress told me personally that if that bill actually gets to the floor, it will pass. You may ask how that could be. Well, if you already have 20 Republicans on board, we have a thin majority. Every Democrat votes for it. 20 Republicans vote for it. That's game over, right? But that's okay. Not the end of the world, right? Because in order for a bill to become law, it has to go through the House and go through the Senate, and then the president has to agree to it and sign it. So even if the House passes it, that's no big deal. Even if the Senate, which they probably would, even if the Senate passed it, that's no big deal. Trump surely wouldn't, right? But then, you know, I told you something was gnawing at me. I told you this on the air last week. I didn't hear GOP leadership shoot down the Dignidad bill. Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the friggin' House. If that thing was going to be dead, Mike Johnson would come out and say, nah, that's dead. It's not going to happen. I haven't heard a word. John Thune is the Senate Majority Leader. If he was going to kill it in the Senate, pretty easy to come out and say it. And remember, you want to kill it early so it doesn't get momentum. I haven't heard a word. Okay, all right, whatever, House and Senate. But Trump would never sign something like that, right? The biggest immigration hawk in the White House, God bless him, is Stephen Miller. He is the one that is constantly pushing Trump to deport more people and deport more people and deport more people over and over and over again. I've been waiting to hear anything from the White House about the Dignidad bill. Stephen Miller went on the news. Here it was.
So a little about what he mentioned, but here's some of the facts with the Dignity Act. Where do you stand with it, Stephen?
Well, you know that this administration opposes amnesty. President Trump has always been clear in his opposition to amnesty. And I, of course, you know my own views. But I want to reframe this whole conversation, Brian, if I could, to something that President Trump has been very focused on for a long time. And that's about having the kind of immigration to this country that makes us stronger, not weaker. I think this conversation gets siloed too often when we have to look at the whole picture. You know, you saw the recent tragic case where an illegal alien from Haiti bludgeoned a woman to death in broad daylight with a hammer, smashing her skull in one hammer blow after another. That's what happens when you have open borders to this country from some of the most dangerous parts of the world. That's one person that Biden let in, the Democrats let in, to maim and murder our citizens, but there are thousands more. When you have open migration, as we've had, Brian, largely, it was very bad under Biden, but largely for five decades before President Trump, we had open migration from the most dangerous places of the world. How do your schools work? How do your hospitals work? How does your economy work? How do you have a society that can win all these great civilizational struggles against our adversaries around the world if you have to feed, house, clothe, educate, support, give affirmative action to millions and millions of people from failed states around the world? So President Trump has said, we want to have high-value migration into this country, not low-value migration. And we have to deal with the fact that we have millions of people here who are on welfare, who are not contributing,
right,
who commit a lot of crime, who consume a lot of public resources, and it's in the best interest of this country for those people to be humanely returned home. That's the big conversation.
Gotcha.
And so this old Washington conversation about amnesty is missing the whole point. The real conversation is, how do we have an immigration policy that makes America stronger and more unified,
right,
not weaker and more divided?
Now, I'm going to ask you a question again. I guess I've been asking a lot of questions tonight. And if you don't know the answer to this question, that's fine, because I'll be honest with you, I'm going to play the whole thing for you again in a moment. But did you hear a no in there? Hey, this Dignidad Act, Trump's a no, right? That's an easy answer. Yeah, no, we're no on that. Yeah, we're going to pass on that. Did you hear that? We'll listen again together. Next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats. So, one more time. Dignidad Act comes out last week.
Buenas tardes.
I said, why hasn't Mike Johnson said this is a no, won't pass? Why hasn't John Thune said this is a no, don't bother, won't pass? Remember, the longer one of these bills gets out there, the more time it has to gain momentum and pass. You want it shot down immediately. Crickets. And I also said, why haven't we heard from Donald Trump that this bill is a no-go? Okay. So Stephen Miller goes to the news. Look, if Trump is a no on this amnesty bill, that's easy to say, right? I'll play it again. Does this sound like a no? Or does this sound to you like a maybe?
So a little about what he mentioned, but here's some of the facts with the Dignity Act. Where do you stand with it, Stephen?
Well, you know that this administration opposes amnesty. President Trump has always been clear in his opposition to amnesty. And I, of course, you know my own views. But I want to reframe this whole conversation, Brian.
Why are we reframing anything? The question was about the Dignity Act. Why are we reframing?
If I could, to something that President Trump has been very focused on for a long time. And that's about having the kind of immigration to this country that makes us stronger, not weaker. I think this conversation gets siloed too often when we have to look at the whole.
Pause real quick. I'm not going to play it because we'll just be here all night. We're doing a what if, but that sounds a lot like what Maria Salazar was saying. Does it not? Yell at me all you want. Maria Salazar got up. No, these are the people who pick the jalapeno poppers. They make our lives better. That's what she said. That sounds awfully similar.
Picture. You know, you saw the recent tragic case where an illegal alien from Haiti bludgeoned a woman to death in broad daylight.
Question was about the Dignidad Act. Keep that in mind.
With the hammer, smashing her skull in one hammer blow after another. That's what happens when you have open borders to this country from some of the most dangerous parts of the world. That's one person that Biden let in, the Democrats let in, to maim and murder our citizens, but there are thousands more. When you have open migration, as we've had, Brian, largely, it was very bad under Biden, but largely for five decades before President Trump, we had open migration from the most
We are a minute and 30 seconds removed from him being asked about the Dignidad Act, and we are now talking about Biden and some dude from Haiti. I'm just going to stop it there because you get the idea. Did you hear a no? Did you hear a we're out? The House shouldn't even bother. The Senate shouldn't bother because Donald Trump's going to veto this. That's an easy statement to make, right? Then honestly, if you're Donald Trump, then you're saving them time. Hey, House of Representatives, Senate, don't waste your time on it. If it even gets to my desk, I'm a no. That's an easy conversation to have. That what you heard? I'm worried. If I sound worried, I am worried. There you go. Chris, write that one down. Let's do some emails. Speaking of Americans, let's talk about Pure Talk first. I love them. It's just so rare anymore. I wish it wasn't. I wish Pure Talk was the norm. Hey, no, we're an American company and we hire Americans. No, we're going to hire pleasant Americans who speak English because we're an American company. That's what Pure Talk does. When you switch from Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and you switch to Pure Talk, it's not just that you save a bunch of money, and you will. You can keep your phone, keep your number. It's pain-free. Pain-free. We're talking 10 minutes on the phone. That's all it takes to speak to an American. Save money, keep your phone, keep your number, and give your money to an American company run by a Vietnam veteran, I should note. How about that? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to my wireless company. Switch to Pure Talk. Jesse, might be a little long, but I hope you read it. Subject of this one is thank you. My son recently turned 18 and has been desperately looking for a job. A few days ago, he had an interview with our local Home Depot. I have the same dress code you do for interviews, and I told him we need to get some dress slacks and a button-up shirt. My wife was hesitant since money is tight, but I insisted. He did his interview on Friday, and the interviewer told him that in 5 years of doing interviews, he has never had someone show up in dress slacks in a button-up shirt. Needless to say, he got the job and starts on Tuesday part-time. For anyone with the audacity to doubt the oracle, let it be known that dressing up for an interview pays off. The next time I'm in the Houston area, I'll buy you an ice cream and water at your favorite bar. Love the show, brother. Hope you and Jewish producer Chris and Corey have a great weekend. His name is Sean. Sean, give your boy my best. Well done as a father, Sean. And remember, dressing up for an interview also doesn't have to be expensive. Go down to Walmart. It's not about the quality of what you're wearing. It's about the effort. It's about the first impression you give that employer. The first impression is you cared enough to put on some slacks in a dress shirt. I don't care if it's a, Chris, what's a fancy brand? A Gucci? Do they make Gucci? I've heard of Gucci. I don't care if it's a $1,000 Gucci shirt. I don't care if it's a $10 shirt you got at Walmart. Go down to Goodwill and pick up something. Show the employer you care enough to put on something decent. Because you know what employers cannot find today? They cannot find people who care. People who care enough to show up to work. People who care enough to show up on time. Who don't leave early. Who don't gossip. People who just actually do the job all day long. Do you know how little it takes to be a top 10% employee in this country now? Because the country is so full of turds and foreigners. All it takes is a minuscule amount of effort. It's not like you have to have some superhuman amount of talent. Show up on time. Don't leave early. Don't office gossip. And when your boss tells you to do something, don't return to him until the job is done. Make his life easier. You follow those simple rules. It's not just that you're going to get a job. You're going to get promoted. You'll be running the place at some point in time. You will. Ah, but Jesse, I'm dumb. Maybe you are dumb. You're still better than everyone else. But Jesse, I'm not good with people. Maybe you suck with people. You're still better than everyone else. Just show effort. The crappy thing about living in a country that's kind of degrading on us is there's a bunch of turds and losers out there. The good news is it takes a lot less effort to outshine them now. Put on some slacks and a dress shirt and go get the job. All right, I'll touch on this Eric Swalwell thing briefly next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.